Well, Don, I was working on being super duper today.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was thinking about you being super duper.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, have you put your snowmobile away, Don?
Yeah.
All right, well, you're going to have to buy a ski-doo and get out there and jump the waves. Yeah. I'd pay to see you two on a ski-doo. Yeah. Anyway, well, good morning to all of you. It's a beautiful day. We watched the Mr. Rogers movie last night. It's a Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood. Oh, you've got to see it. It is really something. So I went to bed last night and I was, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Oh, wonderful. A beautiful day in the, I don't care what it is. It's lovely. And I thought I better go to sleep. This is getting ridiculous. But anyway, so if you haven't had a chance to see it, it's really profound. I mean, it's quite a fascinating movie. So I want to give you some announcements for this upcoming week. Many of you know all that's happening, but we're doing the Zoom again Mondays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock. So join us and enjoy the talk time together and the prayer time. Monday, of course, we meet for prayer here at the church at 2 o'clock, so just remember that. And then Wednesday, the ladies are here at 10 o'clock. So, and then Friday, the men are here as always for lunch. So if you haven't been out, gentlemen, for a while, I'd suggest you come out and bring a sandwich. We sit around, we chat, we have a great time together. So that's for noon every Friday. And then Saturday, prayer time here at the church on Saturday evening. Next Sunday, we will be having a board meeting immediately after the service at 11:30. So if you'd like to stay, by all means, feel free. It won't be that long, but we need to continue to do things for the church. Keep things rolling, and so we'll be meeting next Sunday.
Will we be bored?
Say that again, Norm.
Will we be bored?
Will you be bored? I can't speak for you. You can make it whatever you want. Birthdays. Rhoda and Ann. Ann, happy birthday to you for Tuesday, and she's going on a round-the-world cruise. As soon as she can get out of the country. Anyway, so happy birthday. And then for Rhoda as well. So Rhoda, will you please wish Rhoda a happy birthday for us, Sue, if you're talking to her? And then Dawn has her birthday on the 26th. So she's down there somewhere in Yuma. And Steve, where is your mom these days? That's a misnomer. They're heading north to South Dakota. Yeah, I got it. No, it's okay. I got it. Anyway, so they're coming back. You don't know when you're going to see them. All right. Okay. Anything else as far as announcements go? I don't think we'll need any more snow removal. So just remember, you can put your shovels away. I might be surprised come April, but any other announcements? Any other updates for anybody? Okay. Can we go over the prayer requests and the notes for prayer? I was talking with Monica this week, poor girl. She was supposed to go in and have her radiation, and last Sunday she came down with a terrible cold, so she had to cancel, and so she's waiting now. Hopefully Wednesday she'll be able to go in and get that process going for her. I think some of them are asking for prayer with regard to the vaccinations. I know Bob Rayford has had no ill effects from his vaccination. And I know some of us are waiting just to see exactly what these vaccinations are all about. I actually took a call from one of the gals in our church this morning. So could we really pray? Because there's a lot of families that are really divided. And they're fighting among themselves as to whether they should take it or whether they shouldn't take it. Beck and I were in Collingwood yesterday. There was a big rally going through Collingwood, about 200 people, anti-vaccination rally and stuff. So I think there's a lot of division in the country, and it's going to continue to grow. One of the big things I saw in a lot of the signs is no more lies. And I think people are just tired. We want to know what the truth is. What are the actual facts of what we're going through? So there's a lot of people not sure if they're coming or going with that. So we'll just pray for each other. Suzanne wants to mention that there's two of her friends have come through breast cancer surgeries. And there was a fascinating story. If you get a chance to phone Suzanne or talk to Richard today, how they were able to get this stove gifted to them and get the old stove removed. It was an amazing scenario. Got a quick text from Dorothy Bingle this morning. Paul and Dorothy were supposed to be here. Paul took a fall this morning at the cottage. Just missed the sink. But so at 8 o'clock, 8:30, they were heading back home and said, "We really wish we could have been at church today." So we will pray. We'll pray for Paul as he continues to finish up his rounds of chemo. And he's doing remarkably well. He was out sharing with us on Friday. And it's amazing what the Lord has been doing in his life. It really, despite all the stress of having to go through everything. So quite a trooper. So, all right, let's go to prayer. Why don't we just take a moment and just focus on these prayers, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come and lead us. Father, we've got so much to be grateful for, and you work in powerful ways in our lives. We see your hand in creation around us as now we're heading into spring. Lord, we recognize, too, that our society is extremely stressed out in so many different ways. If it wasn't a virus, it was a variant. If it wasn't a mask, it was a vaccination. And so, Lord, my prayer is that your Holy Spirit will not only bring us a great sense of peace, but we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And so, Lord, we pray for our entire church family, wherever they are this day, for those who are here with us. Lord, they sense your presence and be moved by you. For those that are listening or watching, Lord, that you're very near to them and all that they're going through. And Father, we want to say thank you for the ways you have worked, for Monica and what you've done for her, and as you're going to continue to help her in this time of radiation as she has this spot on her forehead dealt with, that you'll have real peace about that. And for all those that are going through various issues of life, for Paul and this fall now, that you just bring strength and energy to his body supernaturally, for Dominic as his arm heals, and for Steve, obviously. For Audrey and Ed, as they head out to BC, that they would have a great sense of peace and clear direction in much of the uncertainty and the anticipation of what the future holds for them. Father, we pray, too, for our neighbors on our street. Some of them are going through horrific things, and others are just doing plain stupid things. And so, Lord, would you adjudicate where there is an openness for your Spirit to move? Father, thank you for what you've done for Suzanne and continue to do with the steroids. Thank you for her concern for her friends and how they've come through their surgeries. And thank you for touching Susan and giving her strength and energy again and taking away the infection. We pray for Norm as he continues to work on events in the house, activities there that need to be fixed and things. Lord, we all have things we need to do with our home, and we need wisdom. For Becca, as she heads into these final 5 weeks of school for her, first of all down in Breslau and then in Ottawa, that she would too feel your great peace and give her wisdom in all that she's trying to do in the classroom. And Father, for all of us as we head into this week, that we would know your power, we would have your wisdom, we would know the strength and the determination that comes, because we're absolutely convinced that we are going to follow you no matter what. And so, Lord, bless each and every one in this room today, and may we sense your presence as we sing and as we worship you now. In your name we pray, amen and amen. I want to first of all say thank you to so many of you that gave me feedback from last week's sermon on the difference between the judgment of sin and judging people. And I appreciate the feedback because, you know, it says to me that as I share what I feel the Lord's given you and I'm working through, you're working through it with me. And so, you know, anytime you want to call or you want to question something even, I mean, I think as a preacher, we have to be ready not only to defend the faith, but to discuss the faith. And I don't think Satan wants us talking about anything to do with the Lord. And so I just want to say thank you for all of you that have been talking to me this week. I want to, this is kind of a reflective sermon. I don't feel I'm necessarily going to give you a history lesson. I don't feel there's going to be something necessarily profound, but it's the kind of sermon as I was preparing it, I thought this is something where you sit back and you think, okay, what do I really believe? And the question I want to bounce off you is, do you know how much your Heavenly Father really loves you? Do you know that? Have you thought about how much you're loved? I mean, we live in a funny day where either people don't say anything about I love you, or it's almost flippant. Oh, I love you. Goodbye. See you later. I love you. No, we have a Father who loves us incredibly. And what was fascinating is I began to see the scope within Scripture, and I want to take you back to Jeremiah. So this is about 600 years before Jesus coming to the earth. And Jeremiah is writing, and he's trying to express to the whole nation. Now remember, the benefit we have is we have an individual relationship with a Savior who is a person who is real. Back then in the Old Testament, they only had a God who was kind of like at the top of the mountain, and you couldn't approach him, and you couldn't touch certain things, and you couldn't go in certain places, and there was curtain dividing and all kinds of things. And so Jeremiah, I think, says an interesting thing, because what had happened was the Israelites, had gone into great sin. And of course, they'd been given this land, Canaan, land of flowing with milk and honey, and yet they had so corrupted themselves that I'm sure as a father looking at his children, he must have been absolutely disappointed. Absolutely disappointed. And so what we have here is there comes a time he says, okay, enough's enough. I'm going to discipline you. You've got to be disciplined. How many of you as parents got to that point? We all did, I think. There comes a point we can say so much and do so much and set the boundaries, and after a while there's just sheer discipline. And so what Jeremiah says is, you know, you're about to go into 70 years of captivity. You know, the king of Babylon is going to come, is going to capture you. You're going to take you back to, as a whole nation, back into Babylon, and you're going to be there for 70 years. And then Jeremiah says the following. For thus says the Lord, who loves you, when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, wait a minute, isn't he about to discipline the people? And yet the flip side is, okay, when the discipline is finished, I want to tell you, I'm going to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek with me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. When I read that, I have a hard time seeing God as a God of wrath. A lot of people say, oh, he's such a God of wrath, and why would you ever have anything to do with him, and da 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 da. I see a Heavenly Father who is absolutely going the second mile every time to try to deal with people that are being nincompoops. And that's the Christian word for what I really want to say. And yet he says, and in all of this, when the discipline is finished, I'm going to draw you back to myself. I'm going to restore your fortunes. I'm going to be your God again. I'm going to continue to help you. You twits. He never says that. And so I guess what we need to understand is when we're looking at the whole spectrum of Scripture, the love of God is consistent through all of time in the 6,000 years that men have walked on the face of the earth. And the Bible confirms that God is a God who goes far beyond when, in all honesty, he should what? Just wipe everybody out and start all over again. Of course, he promised after the flood he'd never what? Do it again. Because the reality was people didn't deserve to live. They were so perverted in their sins. And then if you jump up to the time of David, and this is where I love Psalms so much, in Psalms in 139, and you know this psalm. I mean, I'm not sharing anything new with you. But he's, again, trying to express the Father's love for his generation. And he says, the Lord, he hems me in behind and before, and he lays his hand upon me. What, to strangle him? No, you lay your hand before me and behind me to what? Propel, guide, protect, reposition, whatever it is, so that what? Even your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Now, does that sound like an unloving dad? I don't think so. And then he goes on in 15 and 16 of Psalm 139. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were. And God's going, even before I created you, I've set this plan in motion for you to enjoy life on the earth.
Man, that's some kind of love. And then what's interesting is that Isaiah now, and of course Jeremiah is writing about 600 B.C., Isaiah is writing about 740 B.C., so there's a 150-year difference between them. But what he then focuses on is not only do we just have a father's love, but we are going to have a Messiah. We literally will have a person come to the earth, the Savior of the world, who will tell us and visibly show us who the Father is. Because even if you say, oh, I have a Father who loves me, in the Old Testament, did they ever say, I have a Father who loves me? No, they never talked about my Father. That only came when Jesus said, you have a Father in heaven who loves you. And so there's this whole thing. And so now Isaiah brings another element of the fact of how much the Lord, the Heavenly Father, loves us. And he says, when this Messiah comes, in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God will be upon him, or upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. What do you hear about how the love of the Father is working? He's going to solidify us in ways that literally we are as known as oaks of righteousness. Now remember, this is Isaiah writing 740 years before the Messiah came. When he comes, he will confirm this. And I'm telling you this now so the next generations will understand that when the Messiah comes. Well, of course, 740 years pass. And remember, Jesus hits the world scene. Raised up in Nazareth, at the age of 30, starts into public ministry. And when he's in Nazareth one day, he walks into the synagogue. The synagogue leaders present him with the Torah to read. He opens it to, what do you think? Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. And he finishes reading it. And then we have Luke saying, Jesus then said to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. Yes. I can't get around the fact that we have a Heavenly Father who's been loving people for thousands of years, and then we have nincompoops who say God's dead. You know, and I shake my head and I think to myself, why would you fight the very one who loves you the most? And the reality is, unbelief blinds eyes, doesn't it? Unbelief makes people angry. And so, Isaiah, one of the other things he said is that when the Messiah comes, he's going to blot out your transgressions for God's sake, and he will not remember your sins anymore. And so the reality is, Jesus, he comes to the earth, and he says, that's one of the first things I'm going to do. I'm going to allow you forgiveness. I'm going to blot your sins out, so now you're going to have a relationship with God. So what I want you to start to realize this week, as you reflect upon your relationship with God, is, boy, do you ever love me? Thank you for all the times you've forgiven me. Thanks for all the times you continue to forgive me. Thank you that I have a way of being forgiven, because I couldn't do this on my own. It wouldn't work. And what's fascinating to me is when you think of what Jesus said in the town of Nazareth at the age of 30, he said, this is for the Jews. This is for all of you that have been waiting in Zion. But the bigger picture is, it's for all you and I who are Gentiles. And I don't know what it is, but I think we can appreciate it in some ways because we don't take it for granted because we weren't part of the original family. You know, it's funny when I see families that have adopted children. I see one of two things. I see adopted children who are so excited to be part of the family, they are like cemented in. And then I see others who kind of are always questioning, well, what, wasn't I loved in the first place? And but the reality is, we got cemented in. We got grafted into the vine. We got connected with something that's bigger than crazy glue. Or what's that other kind they've got now? Yeah, the what is it? That kind of glue. I tried it in our vacuum cleaner the other day. I got to tell you, it didn't work either. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But what I want you to do, and this is what hit me this week as I'm preparing for the sermon today, is I think there are times that we need to stop and we need to reflect and we need to pause. I don't know about you, but this last year my brain has been overdrive. Every day there's been new information. There's been this and that, and most information contradicts the information I heard the day before. It gets to the point I don't want to talk to anybody, I don't want to watch any news, I don't want to see anything. But the reality is, no matter what's going on in our life, we need to take time, look at Scripture, pause and reflect that God is the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow, and how do we fit into that? You and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're sons or daughters of the Most High God. And then, as I conclude this morning, as I was concluding my thinking on this, I thought, wait a minute, I'm not just a son of God. I'm part of a whole big family. Now, have you thought about the family you're a part of? It's called the body of Christ, the church, you know, the bride. You're right. The reality is I felt incredibly isolated this year. I still feel isolated. I want another one of those March for Jesus. We all go down the street and we're all singing, we're holding banners, we're all praising the Lord. I want spiritual buffet. Mandarin's good, but I want something bigger than even Mandarin. I don't know about the rest of you. And so I just want to remind you, Paul, I can just see Paul as he's writing Ephesians to the Ephesian church, and he's trying to get his head around who this body of Christ is that we're all a part of and how much the Heavenly Father's love is in that. And it says in verses 10 through 19, so that the church, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God and the love of God might be what? Made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So that's far beyond what we can see. This was according to the what? Eternal purpose that God realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Access where? Go to him. Talk to him anytime, in the car, in the house, by the bed, in the bathroom, you know, wherever. We have access to this great God who loves us through Jesus. And so that you may not lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. Even if people don't want to acknowledge them, who made them in their mother's womb? God did. God did. From before they even had an understanding of existence. And that according to the riches of his glory, he may what? Grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Where's that? Well, that's in your spirit. But I would suggest too in our minds. I mean, he promises what? A peace that passes all understanding? In our inner being, he will strengthen us. What did Susan tell us there a few weeks ago? She felt the presence of God where? As she was going into the OR. The presence of God was right there. And she was strengthened where? In her inner being in the midst of surgery. He can be anywhere. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that being rooted and grounded in love, you may have the strength to what? Comprehend with how many other people? All of us, including those we can't see, comprehend with everybody. So we are all on the same footing. This is not about, well, the preachers are up here and the people are down here, or the, you know, the really spiritual prayer warriors, they're up here and everybody else. No, all of us are going to what? Comprehend. What does it say? What do you have here? Comprehend with all the saints what? Read it out. Breadth, length, height, depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses the knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I can see Paul trying to say, guys, I'm trying to get you to see the height, the depth, the length, the breadth. Can you get it? And you're always going to have Christians who are going to go, oh, yeah, well, that's just great. I'm having a happy time. No. Paul's saying with all the intensity of his ability to write in this letter, see how much the Father's love is communicated out through the reality of who Jesus Christ is. And when you start to try to measure it, you can't. And so we reflect on that. I reflect every now and then on the New Jerusalem. 1,200 miles by 1,200 miles by 1,200 miles. That's a lot of space. I don't know if the Lord's going to give us cars or what's going to happen up there. But it's going to be a mighty big place. And we're going to see the glory of God by 1,200 miles, by 1,200 miles, by 1,200 miles. And right now he's saying, until you see eternity, what? Concentrate on the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of the love of God right now for you and I, because we're all part of the family. Step up to the table. And so Paul, how do you view Paul? I mean, the stereotype is Paul is a very serious, and life is serious, and we got to get down to that. These are deep theological points. Now, children, listen up. But when I read this, I think, no, Paul's got a little different perspective. Because in verses 20 and 21, as he concludes this chapter area that he's writing, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think. I'm feeling Pentecostal today. Than all we could ask or think. What? According to the power at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations forever and ever. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to close my eyes. I'm ready to jump up and down and cheer. I'm part of a team that's never going to lose because it was set up to have victory from even before the creation of the world. Amen. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Dirty face doesn't have a hope except in hell. And so now and then I think we need to reflect, we need to step back, and we need to go. Our God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. The mountains are his. The rivers are his. The valleys are his. Everything is part of his creative genius. And it's all because he loves you and me. Now, I want to leave one other thought with you as we conclude. I don't know how you've perceived love growing up. I don't know if you were a child who received a lot of love and affirmation and things. There may be some healing for you if you haven't had that. But I want to tell you, the best is yet to come, and let the Heavenly Father love you to bits. Look for ways that he can show you how much he loves you, and then just enjoy it. I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. I think we ought to sing, Donna. I think we ought to sing, My God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. These kids need to stand and jump. We had to do a little cheering this morning. What do you say? Yeah, let's go. Okay, come on, let's stand up. My God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. All right, here we go. My God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Let's sing it again. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. For you and you and you and you and me. You know, I almost think you're smiling behind those masks. That's good. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for reminding us that you are so amazing and your love is so constant. and your awareness of our lives that goes far beyond even our own understanding of our own existence. You knew us in our mother's womb. The days of our lives are numbered. You protect us. You guide us. You walk with us. You talk with us. And as Paul said, we're trying to understand the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of that light, of that love in Christ Jesus. Father, my prayer today is as we leave this place, that we'll be so filled with a sense of we have an amazing God who continues to walk and talk with us. And so may this carry us. May this provide a balance in the midst of an enemy who wants to throw fear at us, confusion, and of course isolation. We are part of a great body, the body of Christ, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, serving him to the best of our ability until the day we walk into the presence of heaven and see our Father face to face, and he wraps his arms around us, and he says, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So, Father, I want to again encourage these folks and all who are watching today to trust as never before, because our God is mighty, our God is powerful, and there's nothing our God cannot do. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go out there and serve them. Bless the Lord. You may be seated or get ready to go. Thank you.